Let's go back, as we begin the second session, to point 14. We noted there that one of the most widely accepted laws of nature is that of the constancy of matter. The state of matter can be changed, but it cannot be created or destroyed. And noted that that is just one of the major laws of science that are universally accepted. And then through Dr. Morris's book, we are noting briefly several others. In conclusion of the first session, we noted cause and effect, motion, energy, conservation. In the second session, we'll note three others. Firstly, classification and order. The fact that categories of natural phenomena can be arranged in orderly classification systems is a testimony to creation. The fact that categories of natural phenomena can be arranged in orderly classification systems is a testimony to creation. I don't know all of the things that you do for a living in here, but when you move into your area of expertise, you are not going to be very successful. You will not be efficient in the performance of your duties unless the system in which you function is organized and unless you get organized within that system. Disorder does not produce anything. The only way to keep entropy from occurring is through outside intervention. And therefore, when there is confusion and disorder in a system, for example, a business, that is primarily due to the fact that there has been a loss of order. It can be expanded to a home if there's some kind of dysfunction, I think that's the word they use, in a home, is because there's been a loss of order. Therefore, entropy is naturally occurring. People say there's dysfunctional homes everywhere. Well, all they're saying is entropy is occurring in a home. And the only way to fix that is to intervene with some outside agent, which is truth. And truth will organize things. Now, a nation can be in great periods of prosperity because there's great organization that is brought about by an outside agent. And I just mentioned that in our prayer. The thing that brings order to a client nation are foundational truths. And in our case, they have been incorporated in writing in our national documents and then expanded upon by national and state and local laws. When we go by these, regardless of the attitude of the people, when we obey the law, regardless of public opinion, when law rules, then order is maintained. And after that order has been maintained as a result of obeying and following law, if after the fact is over, if injustices have been perceived in the law, then those laws may be changed in an orderly fashion. To ignore these laws creates chaos, and there is no solution to chaos since new laws cannot be passed until the problem is over. We have lost touch in this country with the idea of absolutes, with the idea of laws, and that things are designed to maintain order. I have read an article that is so long, I looked at it. Every sentence and paragraph in this article justifies and vindicates many of the things I've been trying to tell you over the years. It has to do with a loss of thought. And those of you of whom I have email addresses, I may email this thing to you so you can read it. It's about 4 or 5 pages long. But the gist of what the man was trying to communicate is that people in our society today have been raised on the notion that nothing is carved in stone. And an example, one of many examples he gave in order to try and illustrate this, was that young people, children, teenagers, even college people age, will sit down in front of a television set with a video game. And their intent is to play that game, to outfox the opposition, whatever it happens to be, and to ultimately win. And nobody sits down in front of the monitor. Nobody grabs the little control gizmo and begins to play the video game without the intent of winning. Nobody starts this with the intent to lose the game. And if you get way behind, you can punch a button that says new game and start over. You didn't lose because you didn't finish the game. You just start over. And if things don't go well, you start over again. And you keep doing that until you finally get the knack of it and finally you win. What's going on in this country today is that people want what they want and they want it now, and the law means nothing. We keep playing until we win. And that is not organized. You can't have a nation of 280 million people split right down the middle and expect order to occur. This is the time to use laws. When there is a division right down the middle, the only thing that can bring order is to go strictly by the law. And when opinions and when emotions come into the picture, then you have mass confusion and no one knows what to do. And there can be no, as the term they're using today, closure. The psycho freaks have got into this. We have to have closure. There was closure by the law. And we're not permitting closure because some, half the people, consider the fact that they lost. And we want to play again. Now, I've told you from the get-go, I didn't care who won this thing. Because they're all criminals, thugs, prevaricators, liars, cheats. Many of them are philanderers, quislings, you name it. That is not, I'm not going off the deep end here. I'm not into hyperbole. I could say the same thing by just simply stating that they're politicians. However, one of them is going to lead the country. And it really didn't matter who, other than the fact, if one gets in, there's about 45 sideshow freaks that'll be out of a job. But other than that, not much is going to get done anyhow. And that's good. People are fretting, by the way, that because we're split right down the middle and we have an equally divided Senate and a small majority in the House of Representatives, that not much is going to get done. And I'm thinking, yes, yes. Nothing will get done. This is good news. Neutralize these windbags, these pettifoggers. No order. And we had a situation in this country where the law could have ruled the day. And we have people who decided to overrule the law and go their own way. And it's created the most stupid and silly sequence of events that you have ever seen. The very idea of calling people in to testify on how rubber hardens. To testify on Chad buildup on national television, to testify on whether people are more likely to vote in the left column of dots than the right column of dots. What is this all about? It is about disorder. The law is crystal clear in Florida. I've read the law down there. And it is not in any way contradictory. It simply says in 7 days, you have to get in the vote. If there are those who don't get the vote in, then the Secretary of State may reject them. She doesn't have to. And if she decides to take them, she decides on stipulations that are stated. Stipulation one, equipment breakdown, a loss of power. Equipment number two, problem two, voter fraud. Problem three, natural disaster, hurricane blew the building away. That's, none of those things occurred, therefore she may reject. And she did. Now, you think I'm a big Catherine Harris fan for saying that, don't you? And I'm trying to tell you that there were laws in place. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You need to get your, what is that word where somebody's just for one side? Partisan. Get your partisan things out of the way here. It's not Catherine Harris. It's not the Florida Supreme Court. It's not G.W. Bush or Al Gore. That's not it. What I'm trying to tell you is there were laws in place that guided the direction of this event, and they were ignored. And now we have chaos. That's what went on there. Classification and order. The universe started out perfectly organized through the laws of physics and remained so, with the exception of entropy, which was installed by the Lord for a purpose. The fact that categories of natural phenomena can be arranged in orderly classification systems is a testimony to creation. If all entities were truly in a state of evolutionary flux, as the evolutionary model claims, everything is in evolutionary flux, then classification would be impossible. If all things are crossing over and creating new species all the time, if there's no order here, then there is a flux involved. So how are we able to classify and organize? Similarities in structure do not necessarily imply evolutionary descent from a common ancestor. See, that's the claim, is that we all came from a common ancestor. Now, that, by the way, we did. We came from Adam and Esau, but these guys are talking about birds and worms and rats and dogs and cows. We all came from the same ancestor. And that is a pile of junk. Being Sunday, pile of junk. Similarities in structure do not necessarily imply evolutionary descent from a common ancestor. An alternate explanation is that of creation by a common designer. A common designer created similar structures for similar functions and different structures for different functions. Dang near everything has legs. Cows have legs. Dogs. We do. Homo erectus. We use two appendages to get around, where the cow and the lion and the dog use four. Now, if you've ever looked at a dog's leg, it's different from yours. How about that of a cheetah? Cheetah's legs are a lot different from our arms and our legs. Now, can you run as fast as a cheetah? No, their structures are different for different purposes, like catching little antelope as they play. We stand straight up so we can hold the gun better. Next category is processes. Every unit of matter in the universe interacts in various ways with other units of matter or energy. Every unit of matter in the universe interacts in various ways with other units of matter or energy. The universe is dynamic. Forces are interacting. Processes are taking place. Events are happening, energy is being utilized, and work is being done. And everything is really one thing. Processes. Every unit of matter in the universe interacts in various ways with other units of matter or energy. And when it gets right down to it, we're all one thing in a closed system, all in motion. Someone told me that they had a good definition for inert uniformity. That they assume inert uniformity on Sunday afternoons at 3 in front of the television on their couch. Well, even when you lay down, no, even when you lie down on your couch, you are not in inert uniformity. I mean, things are going on inside you. Your heart is beating. Blood is flowing. There's movement. And that movement doesn't stop until the soul, the energy force, exits. And then we went through that in the first session. They get rid of you. That body is no longer needed. I am opposed personally. You can lay people out on a slab if you want to, a shutter at a funeral. But I personally prefer that they lock that thing down, and bring the lid down, and weld it if necessary. Why? Well, I think it's rude to display someone's tent after they've left it. I mean, it's there. It was theirs. And they've had to go away. They've gone to be with the Lord. And they've left their body behind, and it's their body. And here come all these people parading by. Isn't that rude? I think so. I mean, the body is empty. They, before the Lord, are happy as punch to be rid of it. And if they could look down at what they left and compare it to now what they've got, they would say, "Oh, my Lord." And then why would anybody want to parade by and look at it? I mean, the just laying there, this inert uniformity. Isn't that, doesn't he look natural? Do you know that as you look at that person in the casket, looking natural, that their jaws are wired shut so that their mouth doesn't fly open? Did you know that? If they were natural, they would look like this. You could say, "Oh, doesn't he look natural?" So, speaking of inert uniformity, there's just not much of it. Energy decay comes next. All processes involve energy changes. And these changes always tend to go in a downward direction, such that there results a net decrease in the availability of the converted energy for further useful work. Now, I need an example for this. When I was young, I got involved in some energy changes. I would go out on the ball field feeling pretty good, having eaten good meals prior to that, having a decent amount of sleep, 3 to 4 hours, and go out on the ball field and have a great deal of energy before the contest began. And then as the contest wore on and the nutrients were used up and the sleep deprivation began to take over, I found that as the contest wore on, that I was suffering this downward direction process. In my closed system, there was entropy occurring. And therefore, what resulted was a net decrease in the availability of the converted energy for further useful work. Got involved in a softball tournament one time in which we played 3 games in one day, or actually all in one afternoon. And we played 9 innings, played 7th inning of the last game we played, I could barely move. I'll never forget that. It was so frustrating that here I am in this final game we need to win, and we got 3 innings to go, and I am spent. And others on the team were as well. 1 game went in extra innings. Now, why is that? Everybody had this little closed system feeling pretty good when we got there, and then we wore down. Now, you drove here today in a car, for example. You may own a new car. Joe Henner and I don't buy new cars. We buy good old cars. And we drive them till they crumble into the cement. did that with that old gray Honda. It just said calf rope in Franklin, Tennessee last year. And we had to get another one. And what caused that? The car was really in good shape when we got it back in 1990. Entropy. It went through this deal here that there was a net decrease in the availability of the converted energy for further useful work. The gizmos didn't work anymore. Now, although the law of energy conservation, the first law of thermodynamics, assures us that no energy will be destroyed, this law of energy decay, the second law of thermodynamics, tells us that energy continually proceeds to lower levels of utility. Lower levels of utility. And the universe is involved in this process. It is winding down. 15. From these several principles, we can make application to the creation of the universe and its conservation to this point with the following conclusions. And we have a number of conclusions from what we've noted. And I'll give you the numbers. I have them alphabetically. I don't know why I do that. You know, they tell you you're supposed to use the letters after a while. But I like numbers, so we'll try to use those. Number one. Of the two cosmological models for the origin of the universe, the laws of nature lend support to the creation model and not to the evolution model. Now, you are aware that evolution ignores entropy. Everything's getting better. Man started out in a primordial goo, and then something crawled up on the shore and said, you know, it'd be better if I had legs. And out comes legs. After, say, a skillion or 2 years. And then after we get legs, you say, you know, I'm banging into things. I need to get some eyes here. I need eyes. You know, and then out come eyes after about a skillion or 2 years. And then we wander about on all fours and squirm through the goo. You say, you know, it'd be better if I could just stand up. And then somebody developed, you know, a psoas muscle, and up they stand. This is insanity. And it flies in the face of all of these principles we've just noted. And in addition to that, the evolutionary model goes on to say that we're continuing to get better and better and better. And that the reason that we have problems today through crime, dysfunctional families, the horror of Christianity, and all of the other things that present them with problems is the fact that we simply haven't evolved to the point to where we've conquered this through perfection. And if we can just study why people do things and find out the cause of it, then maybe we can then create an environment that will get us past this so that in another 40 billion years that we won't have any crime. But in the meantime, you cannot exhale because you are going to melt the ozone. If you will simply exegete what people say and compare that to what you know, you will learn that everybody, for the most part, has lost their mind. Lost their mind. The evolutionary model says we're getting better on the way to perfection. And I'm telling you, we started in perfection and we're on the way through a period called degradation and entropy to absolute inert uniformity. Number two. Basic laws of nature are constant and do not vary in their application. They're not varying. Nothing varies except laws in Florida. And I hate to pick on them, but they're the subject of the day. Laws do not vary when you have people of integrity obeying them. Laws of nature flat cannot be overruled. Congress is not going to pass a law and say, we're going to put a stop to entropy. Three, the universe provides an environment of time and space in which there are really only two things, energy and matter. That's all. That's the total inventory. Four, energy and matter are interchangeable, but neither can be destroyed. Energy and matter, only change forms. And this is referred to as the constancy of matter and energy. 5. In the universe, nothing is static. There is constant motion which produces phenomena and processes. Now, in eternity, the concept of motion in the sense that we have it in the universe is not there. Obviously, you move about in eternity, but it's on an entirely different level. In the universe, everything is in motion in a closed system. And by the way, if you are in time, in the universe, in time and space, then there's a system out there that regulates everything that you do on a one-day-at-a-time basis. When you are in eternity, there is no time. Take the New Jerusalem, for example. Do you know what is the light source for the new earth? It is the New Jerusalem. There is no sun. There is no moon. There are no stars. Just the New Jerusalem. That's the light source. And what's the light source of the New Jerusalem? Well, we've studied that throne, that lapis lazuli throne, where the Shekinah glory sits. And that's who sits. There is no temple in the New Jerusalem. There is only the throne of Christ, the Shekinah glory. And when he sits on that throne in a city made of a phenomenal collection of precious stones, and that Shekinah glory emanates from that structure called the New Jerusalem, it is lit up like a Christmas tree. And we'll go through all of the stones that are involved. Some of them have a certain color, some have mixtures of colors, but they are replete throughout the entire city, which is 1,500 miles cubed. That's from Boston to Key West, north-south. It's from Boston to Alberta, east-west. And 1,500 miles straight up, approximately. And it's all made out of these precious jewels. And that is where you're going to live. And those down on earth, when they look up, they see this phenomenal picture in the sky. Heaven home. And it's all lit up. And that's the source of their light on earth. All of that's yet coming. And that's where you're going. There's a verse that's going to crystallize all of this, and I'm trying to keep from telling you. When I get to it, you're going to be slack-jawed. Oh, I've always wondered what that meant. Well, we're going to get to it, and I'd save it until the proper time. Energy and matter are interchangeable, but neither can be destroyed. They only change forms, and this is referred to as the constancy of matter and energy. In the universe, nothing is static. There is constant motion which produces phenomena and processes. 6. These processes involve simultaneously every unit of matter interacting with every other unit of matter in the universe. We're all one thing. Do you know that you take gravity? You remember studying this? That all units of matter attract each other through a gravitational pull. The bigger ones pull the little ones. And there's a balance out there. Everything is hanging in space. The Lord looked at Job and said, "Were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Job wasn't, by the way. But he added, do you know who laid the foundation? Well, you try to go down to the South Pole and look underneath there and see what the foundation is. There's nothing there. We're hung out in space. But there's a foundation. It's called orbital mechanics and gravity. And we stay right in that same little path, and it doesn't deviate except for a few microseconds. They figure that out in Denver. At just a few little microseconds, we stay in the same place all the time. We're stuck in that orbit because of the size of our globe, our earth, and the size of the sun, and the pull that is exerted by the moon. It's all perfectly balanced. Now, these processes and phenomena involve simultaneously every unit of matter interacting with every other unit of matter in the universe. And that's what keeps it organized. Everybody's working together. Do you see that? 7. Involved in this constant interaction, there are processes occurring where forces interact, events happen, energy is utilized, and work is done. Now, you tell me how much Arab oil it would take if the Earth stopped on its orbit to blast this thing back up to the speed it needs to go around the sun. Maybe we could all push. But there's a great deal of energy involved in moving this planet around the sun. There's energy. There's motion. I'm telling you, our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who invented this. He put the laws in play that keep it running. Keeps it functioning. Colossians 1:17. 8. This interaction is an ongoing sequence of causes and effects. When these processes are tracked backward in time, then man can determine by the laws of nature the cause of every effect. And the scientists have done this. They've gone back in time. They look at an effect and say, okay, what's its cause? They find the cause. All right, what is the cause of the cause? The cause becomes an effect as you work back. See, we have this. When somebody pulls back that first ball there and drops it, that is first cause. And then over here we have an effect. But when this one falls back, it becomes the cause. And now what originally precipitated this thing, it becomes an effect. And then when it comes back, it becomes a new cause, a new effect, a new cause, a new effect. Everything works that way. And you can track things back. And you come to a thing called first cause. Therefore, 9. Ultimately, the sequence takes him back to first cause. Now remember this. An effect can be lower than its cause, but never higher. An effect can be lower than its cause, but never higher. 10. Therefore, when contemplating first effect, that is the creation of the universe, then its cause must be considered higher than the phenomenon created. And the scientists have gone back to that point, and they can't explain first cause without becoming theologians, because first cause must be greater than the first effect, which is the universe. Now, you got that? This is what defeats the theology of evolution. It is pure, simple logic. And logic supports the creation model. 11. Thus, the first cause of infinite space must be infinite. I misread that. I apologize. I misspoke. The first cause of finite space must be infinite. Cause must be greater than the effect. The first cause of limited time must be eternal. Cause must be greater than the effect. The first cause of degrading energy must be omnipotent. Cause must be greater than the effect. Thus, the first cause of the universe must possess these attributes. 12. The only concept that answers to these qualifications is a being that is supernatural. We're talking about the laws of nature here. The physical laws that keep things running are the laws of nature. They don't deviate, nor do they change. But they are first effect, not first cause. First cause must be greater than the first effect. Therefore, that first cause must be greater than that which is natural, thus the term supernatural. 13. Human vocabulary has come to affix the proper noun God on such a personality. The Bible identifies Him as the triune God and the personality of that Godhead who is revealed as the agent of first cause is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've taken you to the passages. You can get the tape, lesson 409, second session last Sunday. All the passages you need to identify Jesus Christ as the agent of first cause, is on, those passages are on that tape. So repeat this point again. Human vocabulary has come to affix the proper noun God on such a personality. The Bible identifies Him as the triune God and the personality of that Godhead who is revealed as the agent of first cause, meaning the creation, is our Lord Jesus Christ. That creation is an environment of space and time, and its contents are energy and matter, which are in constant change and motion due to continuous cause and effect. Energy and matter is all that's here. It's in constant change and motion, all due to continuous cause and effect. Nothing is stopping. It's all one thing. It's all interrelated. Everything is organized and everything is cooperating. 15. Within the closed system of the universe, its energy and matter can neither be created nor destroyed. This is the first law of thermodynamics and is called the law of energy conservation. The law of energy conservation. In other words, first law says there's an X amount of energy and matter, and it doesn't deviate. It changes forms, but the total inventory remains the same. However, I think 16, or P. Another law of nature the Creator put in place was that of energy decay. This is the second law of thermodynamics and states that energy continually proceeds to lower levels of utility. Lower levels of utility. 17. In other words, the universe contains a fixed amount of matter and energy. No more can be created and none can be destroyed. Now, let's go back to 2 Peter 3:10. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the universe will disappear with a sudden roar, and the elements will be dissolved with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. And then we drop down to verse 12, because of which the burning heavens will be dissolved and the elements will melt with intense heat. What happens to all of this? Apparently, changes form. Changes form. And that will be an important point as we see the development of the new heavens and the new earth. But we should note, the availability of usable energy is constantly decreasing. Again, this is the principle of entropy. I want to remind you of that definition before we conclude. Entropy is the measure of the unavailable energy in a closed thermodynamic system. That's the universe in our application. Entropy is the measure of unavailable energy in a closed thermodynamic system. It is a measure of disorder of a closed thermodynamic system, the degradation of the matter and energy in the universe to an ultimate state of inert uniformity, and it is the steady degradation or disorganization of a system. As clocks wind down, iron rusts, wood rots, and people get old, the effects of entropy are obvious everywhere. And the physical laws that mandate this result are the first and second laws of thermodynamics. Now on Tuesday evening, we'll take up paragraph D, a retrospective look at the old heavens and the old earth. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to You for the creative acts that have placed us here today with the opportunity to acquire within our souls the absolute principles of your immutable word. And interestingly enough, the absolute laws of nature are easily utilized to demonstrate these things. You have created a perfect system, and only we have contaminated it with original sin and the enduring spiritual death that results. There shall come a day, Father, and we are so grateful to you and your grace that we will be there, when there will be a new heavens and a new earth, a new Jerusalem, and we will be citizens of that heavenly community, the one to which Abraham looked and therefore refused to even one time build his own home. He lived always in tents because he never ever took his eyes off that heavenly city that he desired to achieve. We have it, for we have eternal life through faith in your Son. May the knowledge of these things motivate our continued pursuit of truth through reciprocity, so that we might acquire within our souls a clear understanding of our future with you, not only in that moment we arrive, but for all eternity. And we lift our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Charis human kai reine, plethun thae in epinosai tu theu kai iesu, tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.